Chapter 22. Every afternoon at exactly 4:05, Admiral James Sandecker, the chief director of the National Underwater and Marine Agency, left his office and took the elevator down to the 10th floor communications department. He was a bantam-sized man, a few inches over 5 feet, with a neatly trimmed red beard matching a thick head of hair that showed little indication of white. At age 61, he was a confirmed health nut. He nurtured a trim body by downing daily doses of vitamins and garlic pills, supplemented by a 6-mile morning run from his apartment to the tall, glassed headquarters of NUMA. He entered the immense, equipment-laden communications room, which covered 15,000 square feet and was manned by a staff of 45 engineers and technicians. 6 satellites, dispersed in hovering orbits above the Earth, interconnected the agency with weather stations, oceanographic research expeditions, and 100 other ongoing marine projects around the world. The communications director looked up at Sandecker's entry. He was quite familiar with the admiral's routine. "Projection room B, if you please, Admiral." Sandecker acknowledged with a curt nod and stepped into what appeared to be a small movie theater. He sank into a soft chair and patiently waited until an image began to focus on the screen. A tall, lanky man, 3,000 miles away, stared out of the screen from piercing eyes. His hair was black, and he grinned from a face that looked like a rock that dared ocean surf to crash over it. Dirk Pitt was sitting tilted back in a chair with his feet planted irreverently on an electronic console. He held up a sandwich that displayed a missing bite and made an open gesture. "Sorry, Admiral, you caught me in the middle of a snack."
"You've never stood on formality before," Sandecker grumbled good-naturedly. "Why start now?"
"It's colder than a polar bear's rectum inside this floating abortion. We burn off a ton of calories just trying to keep warm. The Doodlebug is not a cruise ship." Pitt set the sandwich aside.
"Maybe so, but next trip the crew would appreciate a little more thought being given to the heating system." "How deep are you?"
Pitt consulted a dial.
730 feet. Water temperature is 29 degrees, conditions not exactly conducive to a game of water polo."
"Any problems?"
"None," Pitt answered, his grin still in place. "The Doodlebug is performing like a perfect lady."
"We're running out of time," said Sandecker evenly. "I expect a call from the new president at any moment, demanding to know what we're up to."
"The crew and I will stick around until the fuel is gone, Admiral. I can promise you no more."
"Any mineral contacts?"
"We've passed over large iron deposits, commercially obtainable uranium, thorium, gold, and manganese. Almost every mineral except our primary target."
"Does the geology still look promising?"
"Strengthening indications, but nothing that looks like a structural uplift, anticline, or salt dome."
"I'm hoping for a stratigraphic trap. It's got the greatest potential."
"The Doodlebug can't produce a paying sandbar, Admiral. Only find one."
"Not to change the subject, but keep a sharp eye in your rearview mirror. I can't bail you out if you're caught trespassing on the wrong side of the street."
"I've been meaning to ask you, what's to stop an audience from triangulating my video transmissions?"
"One shot in 40.
"Sir?"
"NUMA's satellite communications network has a direct link with 40 other stations. They all receive and instantaneously relay your transmissions. The lag is less than a millisecond. To anyone tuned into this sending frequency, your voice and image come from 40 different locations around the globe. There is no way they can single out the original."
"I think I can live with those odds."
"I'll leave you to your sandwich." If Pitt felt pessimistic, he didn't show it. He put on a confident face and threw a lazy wave.
"Hang loose, Admiral. The law of averages is bound to catch up."
Sandecker watched as Pitt's figure faded from the screen. Then he rose from his chair and left the projection room. He walked up 2 flights of stairs to the computer section and passed through security. In a glass-enclosed room set away from the rest of the humming machines, a man in a white lab coat studied a stack of computer printout sheets. He peered over the rims of his glasses as the admiral approached.
"Good afternoon, Doc," greeted Sandecker.
Dr. Ramon King indolently replied by holding up a pencil. He had a light-skinned, narrow, gloomy face with jutting jaw and barbed-wire eyebrows, the kind of face that mirrors nothing and rarely displays a change of expression. Doc King could afford a sour countenance.
He was the creative genius behind the development of the doodlebug.
Everything functioning smoothly? Asked Sandecker, trying to make conversation.
The probe is functioning perfectly, answered King, just as it did yesterday, the day before that, and the previous 2 weeks. If our baby develops teething problems, you'll be the first to be notified.
I'd prefer good news to no news. King laid aside the printout sheets and faced Sandecker.
You're not only demanding the moon, but the stars as well. Why continue this risky expedition?
The doodlebug is a qualified success. It penetrates deeper than we had any right to expect. The doors of discovery it throws open stagger the mind. For God's sake, cut the subterfuge and make its existence known.
No, Sandecker snapped back, not until I damn well have to.
What are you trying to prove? King persisted.
I want to prove that it's more than a highfalutin dowser.
King readjusted his glasses and went back to scanning the computer data.
I'm not a gambling man, Admiral, but since you're carrying the bulk of the risk on your shoulders, I'll tag along for the ride, knowing full well I'll go on the Justice Department's shit list as an accomplice.
He paused and peered at Sandecker.
I have a vested interest in the doodlebug. I'd like to see it make a score as much as anyone. But if something fouls up and those guys out there in the ocean are caught like thieves in the night, then the best you and I can hope for is to be tarred and feathered and exiled to Antarctica. The worst, I don't want to think about.